The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to William Hill's Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead to Wednesday's racing on this edition, and you'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 1:40 p.m. with Gary Capewell, James Millman and Gareth Topham in the studio. A good day of racing to look forward to as well, with a good card at Ascot. There's flat racing from Pontefract and all-weather racing at Southwell in the afternoon. We have flat racing from Brighton in the evening. There's the Hunter Chase card at Cheltenham and day two of the Punchestown Festival as well, so plenty to look forward to. My name is Mark Walton, and joining me in the studio to do so is Mr. Sean Quinn. How are you, sir?
Yeah, good, Mark. Yourself?
Yeah, good.
I mean, good stuff.
Good time of year, isn't it? With good racing on both the flat and over jumps.
It's all going on, isn't it? No, there's plenty for everyone at the moment. As you say, we've got the Punchestown Festival to enjoy this week. Some cracking racing from Punchestown, and some excellent betting heats throughout the week over the other side of the Irish Sea. And looking forward to Wednesday's racing. It's probably the best day's racing of the week, of the midweek anyway, this week. Excellent card from Ascot. Got a Hunter Chase card at Cheltenham. I think Ponty's card looks very competitive too.
Yeah, and then obviously back end of the week, we've got the Guineas meeting at Newmarket as
exactly.
well. So the flat really kicks into gear then.
It starts proper, doesn't it? And then we roll on to Chester next week, York the week after, and then we're really rocking and rolling.
Yeah, then we bang up, well, I don't know what I was going to say then. we're really rolling in the flat season by then. Let's talk about a bit of racing news before we look ahead to Wednesday's action. We'll start with a bit of news from the jump sphere, and Sam Twiston Davis has been named the number one jockey for champion trainer, newly crowned champion trainer Paul Nicholls.
Yeah, I think there was I think this has sort of been a well kept secret for a while, hasn't it?
Yeah.
The opinion has been that Sam Twiston Davis would land on this job at some stage. Now, whether people thought it would come as soon as it has, I'm not so sure, but it's been apparent over the last 12 months that Paul Nicholls is a fan of his. He's used him on occasions, particularly in big races. He rode Tidal Bay to success at Wetherby early in the jump season last year. That probably signalled the start of things for Sam Twiston Davis and Paul Nicholls. And then, of course, the decision to put him up on big bucks in the Cleve Hurdle and then the World Hurdle showed the regard in which he's held at Nicholls Yard.
Yeah. Do you think it'll be a success? Do you think it'll
I don't see why it won't be a success. He's probably the most talented young rider around at the moment, still only 21 years of age. So there'll be a lot of pressure that comes with it. But he seems a very level-headed fella, and the sort of fella who doesn't get too wound up and too up or down. So I'd imagine he'll be a success. And I can't think of any other candidate that I'd have put before him anyway, Mark.
Yeah. And apparently he was in high demand. There was a couple of high profile owners in the Henderson yard that wanted him as well. So
yeah, well, that was not surprising. Yeah, a bit of a shock though, wasn't it? Because of course Barry Geraghty's riding phenomenally well, and the fact that two major owners, we don't know which owners they were or are, approached Sam to ride their horses for Nicky Henderson. It speaks volumes for the man, Sam himself. It's also quite interesting, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, it just shows that how highly he is regarded.
Yeah, especially as I say, given the fact that Barry Geraghty is riding so well, Mark. He's probably enjoyed his finest season ever.
Yeah, he has,
Barry Geraghty. So the fact that some owners are maybe looking away from him is interesting. Now, whether it's because Sam Twiston Davis has time on his side and Barry Geraghty is one of the senior jocks now, looking to the future, I'm not so sure. But anyway, Sam has landed on the Paul Nicholls job, and I'd imagine he'll make a real fist of it. And significantly for him, I think the deciding factor in him choosing Paul Nicholls' job was the fact that he's able to keep the ride on the new one, his father's horse. That horse means the world to him, and of course going to be a major player in the Champion Hurdle next year. I actually think it'll work out quite well, because I can't see what Paul Nicholls has got in the Champion Hurdle picture anyway, Mark, so it might suit both parties fairly well.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Okay, let's change tact a little bit and move on to the flat scene. And we'll start with the 2,000 guineas because that comes up this weekend. Kingman, the hot favourite at the moment, although just nudged out slightly to 11-10 from even money. Australia, 3-1, two or more fives, tens for Kingston Hill and War Command, and then 16-1 on bigger prices the rest. And if you look down at the runners around the 25-1 mark, you'll see Outstrip, who Charlie Appleby's quite keen on in the paper today.
Yeah, and he's quite a big price, isn't he, Outstrip, at the moment? Sort of, what is he with us at William Hill?
25 to 1,
yeah. Enjoyed a good season last year, didn't he, Outstrip? Culminating in that Breeders' Cup win under jockey Mike Smith. Whether he's classy enough to win the 2,000 guineas, I'm not sure, but 25-1 might look big come Saturday afternoon, Mark. I think Kingman is the one they all have to beat, but his price is very, very skinny now, even money with us here at William Hill. Of the others, War Command might be a touch overpriced. I see he's 12-1 with us at William Hill.
Tens now.
Tens, is he? Mm. Okay, so he's been nibbled again today. And he's a horse who absolutely routed his rivals in the Coventry Stakes last year. He's got high-class form at two, and his pedigree suggests he should improve at three, so War Command would probably be the each-way stab for me at this moment in time.
Okay, wouldn't be the first time we've seen a supposed second string from Aidan O'Brien go on to win the big prize either, would it? So
no, of course not.
Yeah. Okay, War Command then could be a bit of value at 10-1, a double-figure price in the 2,000 guineas. And quickly before we move on to Wednesday, a couple of all weather updates. Wolverhampton have gone for a Tapita surface.
Yes.
And we're also possibly going to see fixtures for Chelmsford City, which used to be Great Lees, and Newcastle on their new all weather track. They've both applied for fixtures next year as well.
Yep. We'll start with Wolverhampton. I don't see anything wrong with them switching to a Tapita surface, so they get a tick for me. I think it's great that Great Lees is going to reopen as Chelmsford City. We know how popular it was before it shut, and it provides a good outlet for many new market based trainers and trainers in and around that area. And us training operations in the north have been crying out for an all-weather track up in the north for many, many years. I think it's about time we have an all-weather track. Whether it should have been Newcastle, I'm not so sure, Mark. We're ripping up a great turf track at Newcastle.
Yeah.
So whilst I think it's a big plus that we do have an all-weather track finally coming to the north, I'm not so sure we've got the venue right. You know, Newcastle hosts some pretty good racing through the year. It'll be a loss to not have that on turf anymore. So time will tell, but I'd be worried that Newcastle might be heading down the down a similar route to what Kempton did when they switched their grass track to the all-weather.
Yeah, although it does guarantee them more fixtures a year.
It does, but Kempton was undoubtedly more popular, wasn't it, when it was a grass racing surface.
Okay, both applied for new fixtures and both being granted new fixtures as well, so we will see racing at both of those venues. Just off the top of your head, do you know what they do with the likes of the Northumberland Plate and stuff like that? Do they run that on the chase track?
I believe they're going to run the plate on grass, yeah. So that'll be on the hurdle track or something.
Yeah.
But I think that's the only race that will be run on grass.
Right. Okay. Right then, that's the news for today. We will now move on to Wednesday's racing, and we're going to get the thoughts of Sean on a bit of racing at Ascot and some of the racing at Pontefract.
William Hill Racing Radio. From the first race until the last, it's everything to give you the inside track.
Right then, on to Wednesday's action. Sean's going to go through a few races in detail at Pontefract for us because the Quin Yard have runners in the three races he's going to talk about there. And he's also going to give us his thoughts on one of the races at Ascot, the big race of the day. It's the Group 3 Cigarro Stakes. It's at 3:45. And seven of them in the lineup here. Harris Tweed probably going to be somewhere near the top of the betting. He's a real classy individual, isn't he? Do you see him as the one to beat here, Sean?
Yeah, probably. Particularly in receipt of weight from Tac de Boitron. They'd be the two for me here, Mark. I think both horses handle cut in the ground. It's going to be pretty testing at Ascot tomorrow afternoon. So that's one thing that punters should consider. But Harris Tweed, no, he's got excellent form at the track, doesn't he? Of course, was narrowly denied at the Champions Day meeting under George Baker at the end of last year. And one or two of his rivals aren't at their very best at the moment. Simenon's just sort of enduring a little bit of a dip in form at the moment, Simonon. Whether it's just a hard schedule over the last couple of years catching up with him, I'm not so sure. Tata Boitron is very interesting on the soft ground. We know he will love the conditions, but he might just struggle, as I say, to concede that £7 penalty to Harris Tweed. So, yeah, he'll be the most interesting horse for me in the race.
Okay. We'll look forward to that on Wednesday, but we're going to focus in more detail on a few of the races at Pontefract because, as I mentioned, the Quinyard have races at runners in the three races we're going to look at. The first of them is the 425, and this is a Class 4 handicap over a mile and a quarter. And Mr. Gallivanter is your runner here, Sean. So what do you make of him?
He's a nice horse, Mark, and I think he's a horse with a little bit more improvement in him. He enjoyed a good time of things last year in only three races. One he's maiden up at Hamilton and made a really pleasing reappearance at Doncaster when finishing second behind Rudy 5-1. He's quite a stuffy horse and takes a lot of work, so I'd imagine he will improve on that run first time up. He was as fit as we could get him, but he still had a decent blow after the race, so I'd imagine he should be sharper this afternoon. And the track will really suit him. I think he's a horse who's going to stay a mile and a half and a mile and six in time. So a mile and a quarter around a stiff track like Ponty should be fine for him at this stage. The danger for me would probably rate as Dullingham, a horse who won his maiden over course and distance at the back end of last year. Clearly for a two-year-old to win over a mile and a quarter suggests that they are all about stamina. So probably like our fella, he's going to appreciate further in time as well. Champagne Rules was a shock winner over C&D last time out. That race isn't actually working out that well, and I question how well handicapped he is. Filament of Gold has been off for nearly 10 weeks. This horse is going to need to step up again, taking on a better quality of opposition. So, yeah, it's between Dullingham and Mr. Gallivanter for me, and obviously I hope that Mr. Gallivanter can come out on top.
Okay, on to the 5 o'clock next. This is the next race we're going to look at. This is a Class 5 handicap over 6 furlongs, and we'll start with your yard's runner here as well, Elusive George, who went close in a couple of all-weather maidens and then got off the mark over 6 furlongs at Redcar, likely to be near the top of the betting. Do you think he's got a favourites chance?
Yeah, I think he probably does. He's a horse who I'd be surprised if he weren't well handicapped off 73, Mark. He won at Redcar last time out in spite of the ground. The ground was quite soft that day, and he did well to win in the circumstance. It wasn't the strongest of races, but he's a better horse on decent, on good ground or quicker. So hopefully it does remain good, or he even dries a touch at Pontefract. And I think he must have every chance. The one negative for Elusive George is his draw in stall 9. He could have done with being drawn a little bit lower, ideally, but you can't have everything your own way, I suppose. The dangers here, the main danger for me would probably rate as Shared Equity. Jed O'Keefe's horse ran two nice races at 2 last year and reappeared this season to break his maiden tag up at Newcastle. That was a pretty decent race, and I think he's fairly handicapped off a mark of 75, so I wouldn't be surprised if there were further improvement in Shared Equity. Heroic enjoyed a good time of things last year. It'll be interesting to see how fit she is on this return from a layoff. Jaeger Train was a winner last time out for Carl Burke. You'd have to bring him into the mix with the yard going very well at the moment. But again, I think this is I think the two main players here are Shared Equity and Elusive George. And again, like the last race, I hope that our lad is able to come out on top.
Okay, the final race we're going to look at is the 5:35, and this is an apprentice handicap over a mile and a quarter. And Fisher is the runner from the Quinyard in this one. He's been fairly useful over hurdles, and he's had a couple of starts over jumps since moving to your father's yard, Sean. And now you send him on the flat. What do you make of him as a flat horse?
Yeah, I think he's probably fairly treated on the flat, Mark. Running off a mark of 65, he's rated near a 130 over hurdles. Ran a good race last time out over hurdles at Newcastle. And I think a mile and a quarter around this track will suit him down to the ground. Good ground should be fine for Fisher, and I'd be surprised if he weren't winning races off this mark of 65. It's an apprentice race, one of those future stars apprentice races for apprentices who've ridden less than 20 winners, and Joe Doyle, who's attached to our stable, is able to ride him, Fisher, this afternoon because he's ridden less than 20 winners, and in my opinion, he's the best rider in the race. So I think that's another big plus as well, Mark. Yeah. I'd be of the three runners that we have at Pontefract on Wednesday, I'd be most confident that Fisher might land the spoils for us.
Okay, confident selection then, Fisher, in that lucky last. Okay, if you just give us a bit of a summary of your thoughts, Sean, if you wouldn't mind spinning us through your picks and your thoughts one more time.
Yeah, no problem. We have three runners in the last three races at Pontefract on Wednesday. In the 4:25, we have Mr. Gallivanter. He's got his chance and will step forward for his first run of the season. I rate Dullingham as the main danger to him. At the 5 o'clock, we run Elusive George, who could be better berthed. He's a bit wide in stall nine, but I think he's still got improvement in him. I rate Shared Equity as the main danger to him. And the 5:35, the apprentice race, we run Fisher, who might be well treated off a mark of 65 and should be suited by this stiff track. So I'd be disappointed if he didn't go very close.
Okay, good stuff. Thank you very much, Sean. Enjoy it on Wednesday.
Cheers, Mark.
So there you go, the thoughts of Sean Quinn on Wednesday's racing. You'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 1:40 p.m. with Gary Capewell, James Millman and Gareth Topham in the studio. We have good racing from both codes to look forward to, with flat racing at Ascot and Pontefract and on the all-weather at Southwell in the afternoon. There's also flat racing from Brighton in the evening, a Hunter Chase card at Cheltenham and day two of the Punchers Town Festival. Plenty to look forward to. Do tune in for all of that. Thank you very much for listening to the William Hill Racing Podcast and enjoy Wednesday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.